title of this message last week, The Relational Beings. And I took us at the opening to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And I read to you verse 11. I took you to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, and I want you to be very attentive so you can enjoy this message. This is the continuation of that message, the relational beings. And this is going to be part 2, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I told us in that opening of that message that God created us, and everything God created, including us, was created for the pleasure of God, based on that Revelation 4:11. You are formed for His pleasure, and you are formed to interact with your environment. You are formed to interact with God. You are formed to interact with other people. Your neighbors, your family members, your co-workers, people you meet on the street. So the topic relational beings is very important, that no how you cannot be alone. And of course, church, I told you last week that church is a community of a diverse group of people helping each other in working for a common goal. And our common goal or our common purpose is eternal life. The reason why we gather together every Sunday or any other time, the purpose is this, that we are all working together to ensure that we inherit that kingdom of God. Everyone you meet in life or in the church must be treated, I told you. If you want to enjoy this relationship with anyone, our relationship with God will come first, that you know. And then others. And then yourself. And I said last week that everyone you meet in life or in the church must be treated with courtesy, dignity, and respect every time and all the time. Say after me, every time,
every time.
And all the time.
All the time.
Anybody you meet in the church, in fact, in life, not only limited to the church, anybody you meet must be treated with courtesy, say that, with courtesy, with dignity, and with respect. It's every time and all the time. If you want to have a very good life, you must have this as an habit. And then you know one thing, everybody is important, I told you. Don't think that you are more important than someone else. So if you know that everyone is important, as you meet people, respect people. Treat them with courtesy. Treat people with dignity. It's very important. And if you work in an establishment whereby you have contact with the public, either as a salesperson or customer service, they're going to tell you this. Very important. You must respect people. You must treat them with honor, with dignity, with courtesy. If you don't do that, you're going to lose your job. And that's why they say customers are always right, right? It's not that customers can insult you or can misbehave, but as long as you are in that environment and you are working there, you must respect them. You must treat them with dignity. You must treat them with a great courtesy, because you are because they are, right? If the customers did not come, then you will not be there. And one time I went to somewhere to work. I went to somewhere to transact business. I cannot exactly remember. Either it was in a bank or so, and somebody behaved rudely. And I went to the supervisor. I spoke to the supervisor on that person. And I said, listen, I think I remember it was back home. I went home. And then somebody sent money from here through Western Union and asked me to go withdraw the money. And usually when I go home, I just dress casually. Sometimes I can put on bathroom slippers, walk outside. I roll my trouser, I roll it like somebody, I just dress. You just meet me like somebody who cannot even speak anything. So I dressed like that and entered this bank. I think it was the first bank. And I was filling the form and I didn't fill the form very well. So the lady was just talking. Said, we can't fill this form. Can't you fill this form, this and that? And I was trying to ask her, can you help me to complete the form? She looked at me as, that was a strange question. She looked at me and she was saying, you have to write it yourself. You have to do this yourself. Then she left me. She was attending to other people. And I was still quiet. She was talking. Then I told her, can I see your supervisor? She looked at me. What kind of question is that? See my what? And then, you know, mostly what the way they design most of this banking hall, you have either the accountant or the officer in charge. We sit on a kind of stage, a little bit higher, you know, and so you can see. So I was trying to, you know, go in there to see. She wouldn't want me to go inside. Then I moved a little bit and to somebody there that I would like to see the man over there. Then when the man saw me, he said, that somebody I should come. Then I went to him. Then I sat down with him and I was talking to him. And I tried to let him understand. It's not that I'm reporting her for anything, but I want to make a change. That, you know, I'm here. If I fail to come here, all of you will not be here. It's my money that keeps all of you here. And I kind of told the man the whole thing. And I said, listen, I even have a account here. Other than even coming to get this money for this person who sent this money through Western, you know, I got a account here. And I started to speak. I was speaking English. And the lady was hearing. And the supervisor said, you call her. And they called her. And the man was kind of trying to talk to her. And I made the man to understand that no matter how people appear in the bank, no matter how they appear, as long as they are here to transact business, they should be respected. You wouldn't respect me, you know, because of the way I put on, maybe I dress this, I suit up and that. And no, as long as I'm here to transact business, any way I like to appear, I can appear. I have that choice. I have that freedom, right? But I must be treated with respect. I must be treated with a little bit of courtesy. And I must be treated with dignity. Everybody is important. The man began to apologize and call the lady and say, don't do that again. I said, you know, since I've been banking here, my salary was being paid in this bank when I was here, working here. So it's not a strange bank. I've been here. And for the fact that I even have a account here, it's a very good, check that you don't even need too much of ID. As long as you can compare this and, you know, I'm the same person. She was corrected, and I think she learned her lessons. That is, it's not limited only in the business world. I want to tell you, even in our family, if you want to have peace at home, you must treat your wife with dignity, with courtesy, and with respect. You don't treat her as a slave. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? She's your help, what? Meat. She's just your companion. And the same thing, the wife cannot just look down on her husband. Either the husband has money or he doesn't have money. Whatever is the case, you must respect him. You must honor him. You must love him. You must treat him as a human being. Amen? Even our children too. The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Now in the church, it's very important. In the church, you meet anybody, either the first time or second time or members, please let us treat each other with respect, with dignity, and with courtesy. And all these were the issues that we treated last week. We need each other. On the street, in the mall, at gas station, in our neighborhood, we need each other. In doctor's office, in the school, everywhere you go, we need each other. And life is like give and take. You give a service, you take a service.
You cannot be everything. You cannot be an engineer and a doctor and a nurse and a pharmacist and a mechanic. And you can't be everything. You can't be everything. So as you contribute to the system, you also take from the system, right? There is no how we have to relate together. And I told us something very important. I said last week that we must think about what we say. That a fool will say all he or she thinks, and a wise will think all he or she says, right? You don't just talk. Because words, they are like eggs. When they drop on the ground, you cannot gather them again. Is that not right? So be very wise. Don't create unnecessary, you know, tension. Either in your family, either in the church, either on the street, whether at working places or wherever you may be. And I told us last week also, before I now go to the one for this week, that relationship could be toxic. There are what we call relational poisons, which can kill. You have to avoid some toxic relationship. You could drag one down. It could make one feel so bad about oneself. And I pointed out one thing to the youth last week, and I told you, youth, that according to the scriptures, when you get to the stage whereby you want to marry, you have to marry a Christian. Hello? You cannot be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I told you this. So don't hold me. Don't put the blame on me. Because the choices that we make, we either make us good or make us otherwise. I just pray that your choices will put you on a platform of promotion and not demotion, in the mighty name of Jesus. Very important. Children of God, very, very important. You want to marry, you marry an unbeliever. Listen, it could be highly, highly painful, and it could be highly, highly deadly. It's a grave decision. And last week, I think either Thursday or Friday, I was listening to Good Morning America. I think it was Friday. And I printed out this praise to ABC News. They brought this out. There was a man that came from Afghanistan, a veteran. There was a case now in court in Chicago. This man is a father of a 3-year-old called Ila. And I think when they married, this man and this woman, when they married, according to the news, ABC News, the man was converted to Judaism. I think he became a Jew. Yes, I think I have it here. Yeah. And then after their marriage, they had this baby girl. And there were problems along the line. And the mother was saying that she doesn't want her daughter to be brought up in a church doctrine or whatever, that she wants her daughter to be brought up through Judaism, that is to be brought up within the Judaism doctrines. And the man was converted to Judaism before their marriage, maybe because of that marriage. But after they are married, they had this baby. Then there was problem, and the woman went for court order. And It became so ugly that two of them are making the news now. In fact, the lady was asking for that man to be imprisoned because that man took his daughter to the church and even asked his daughter to be baptized because the man wants the daughter to be brought up within the church environment, whereas the woman wants her daughter to be brought up within the Judaism environment. It was a very ugly situation. I want you to listen to news like this. In fact, they said, when I was just listening to this in Good Morning America, and they said they're going to have it in 2020, that Friday. It looks so simple, right? I do. If you get entangled in all these things, you wouldn't be the only one that will suffer, but the children that will come within this range. Amen? Look at the way they carry that, that child around now. You have to go to church. You have to go to synagogue. I have to do this. And then the man will take her to the church. The woman will say, no, I have to take you to this. We cannot be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And I took you to the Bible passages on that. I just try to relate this story to you just to back up what we are saying. We are around people all the time. And what is important, the people are looking for some people they can relate with very well. You don't want to relate with somebody that is going to be breaking your heart all the time. They want people that will kind of think alike. People that will make their day great, right? Also in marriage, the same thing must happen. And that is just for our youths. And let us go to part two of this message briefly. The relational beings, part two. Christianity is a good, joyful, and dynamic relationship with God. Very important. And we relate with God as a Christian. We also relate with our neighbors. And then we take care of ourselves. There is a way I love the way you can explain joy. If you want joy to be in your life, you want joy to be in this relationship with people, there's a way you can interpret joy. I don't know if some of you have heard this before. The spelling of joy is J-O-Y, right? J-O-Y. The word J could be interpreted as Jesus or God. Amen? Amen? That is, you put God first. When Jesus was asked to summarize the whole law, he said, you love God with all what? Mm-hmm. 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 Your everything. You love God with your soul, with your heart, with your mind, and with your strength. And he said, the second is like the first. You love your neighbor like yourself. So, God will come first, your neighbor will come next, then you become the last. You put yourself on the last seat. That's how you can have joy. So, the interpretation of the word joy could be, J will stand for God or for Jesus, the O will stand for others. And you will take the Y, right? So, that is the only way you can have joy in relationship. A relationship, as you relate with God, you relate with your neighbors, you consider them, you treat them as you want to be treated. I told you of the golden rules, right? I told you that the golden rule last week was treat others as you want to be treated. And then I told you of the platinum rule. Treat others the way they want to be treated. Sometimes people want to be treated with respect, right? Everybody wants to look important. Treat them as such. You will have a lasting relationship with just such a person. Amen? Treat them as such. Don't treat me like a garbage. You treat me like a garbage, naturally, there will be tendency for me to react to you as a lunatic. Do you get what I'm talking about? Because what the input, the information you put into the system, will determine the result you have. Very important, brethren.
And if you understand that, we go further. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the key verse for this part 2 of the relational beings. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Apostle Paul said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." There is a need for us to be kind to one another. If you are kind to me, you will treat me with courtesy, you will treat me with respect, you will treat me with dignity. If you are kind to me, if you are my wife, you will treat me as you want to be treated. You will honor me. You will do things to me that will bring a positive reaction. Let's be kind to one another. Apostle Paul explained this because the art of kindness is disappearing in the society. The act of kindness, even in our time now, is disappearing. People tend to be selfish. People tend to be, you know, self-centered. They don't want to even show a little bit of kindness to their neighbors. Are you with me now? "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I don't want to go into the aspect of forgiveness. It's another topic on its own. But what we are saying today in the relational beings part 2 is that we want to focus on the issue of being kind to one another. So if you are kind to me, you want to do things that will make me happy. Amen? You want to go extra mile. You want to help me. You don't want to put more burden on me. Rather, you want to relieve me of all the challenges I may have. You know, you have a friend that will do that to you, you're going to have a very good time. You know what? From the time of your birth until you expired, you are constantly going to be entering into and involving in relating with the other beings. You will continue. From the time you came out of your mother's womb, somebody is going to clean you up, right? They want to make sure you cry. They want to cut the umbilical cord. They want to dress you. You cannot do anything at that time. They want to feed you. Though you may be crying for food, somebody has to bring the food to you, right? And we shall continue to relate together until we expire. Now, friendship. Life on earth or in this world is mostly about relating with God, people, and the environment. No man is an island. We cannot totally eliminate relating with people, though not all of them are equally important. You have to choose and prioritize friendship. Is that not right? You continue to relate with people, but it's now for you to think on where are you going to spend your time, on what kind of relationship you spend more of your time. You need to do that. Now, I told you last week, any relationship that will not make you better, that will not give you joy as you walk your daily, you know, daily exercise or daily activities, you minimize, you know, contact with such relationship. Do you understand now? You have to be wise. If somebody is giving you too much of headache, do you like to have headache? If you want to have headache, go to that person all the time. He will give you headache. If somebody is giving you joy, come on. Everybody wants to have joy. You continue to relate with that person. So it's for you to prioritize. I cannot do that for you. You have to choose. Family. You have to interact with your parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, spouse, children, in-laws, etc. You must allow Bible to lead you and direct you to have good relationship with them all. There is nothing you can do. You must relate with members of your family. If you say you're not going to relate with them when there is family meeting, one day something is going to bring you together. And you have to allow the Bible to help you to see how you relate very well with these people. It is the Bible that will help you. The Bible puts it this way, that you should love your neighbor like yourself, right? And of course, members of your family could be your neighbors. So you don't want to love them more than you love yourself. But as you love yourself, right?
So you begin to see where you can go with this person. You know the breaking point of this person. You know what can trigger a problem with this person. You try to use the Bible to love all the people and make sure that they will not create unnecessary headache for you. It's you that will do that. The choice is yours. Professional or occupational colleagues. You know, we have our bosses, supervisors, employers, employees, and co-workers. You have to relate with these people all the time, right? I have seen cases whereby people will say, this society or this church, they don't like me there. You know, I have to go. But do you ever see people that will say, they don't like me in the school, then I have to resign from going to school, or they don't like me at that work, and I have to resign from doing... No! People will stay there as long as they get their green. Because it's important they have to pay their bills, even if they don't want to go there, but for the fact that it is important for them to pay their bills and they don't have any alternative, they go there. If you can see how you can manage up in a very dangerous environment where you work, and you still manage to work there, you can apply the same wisdom to how you relate with members of your family, how you relate with people that you meet in the society, in a club, in the church. You can use the same principle that you apply. Just have to be very careful. Neighborhood. You interact with people on your street, you know, dress shop, auto parts stores, and all those gas stations and mall. You interact with people over there, right? And you have to form a way whereby when you interact with these people in such environment, you promote Christ. As a Christian, your approach to things must be different from the worldly approach to issues. And let's go straight. We are relational beings. Our relationship with people and our environment will either bring us one, joy, or sadness. Your contact with people will not bring you sadness in the mighty name of Jesus. Pleasure or pain, make us better or bitter, bless or curse us, excited or frustrated. Now, the choice is yours. You have to make sure, you have to do that. I cannot do it for you. That as you relate with people, and as you are trying to be kind to people, you have to ensure that they will not create unnecessary pain for you. They will not create unnecessary sadness for you. They will not create unnecessary bitterness for you. They will not create unnecessary, you know, frustration for you. You have to choose that. And as you come into the church, please, let us try as much as possible, since we know that it is the fellowship of the people of God, that you bring joy, you bring pleasure, you bring better things, and you bring excitement, blessings. Let it be your plan, let it be your determination, that as you relate with people in the church especially, you want to bring joy into their lives. Amen. You want to be so sweet to have around. People want to interact with you because you bring sweetness into their lives. The people you are most connected to in life, for the most part, often control the most significant part of your life. Do you believe that? In one way or the other, people that you come in contact with, they may have impact in the controlling of what you do in life. One problem in your relationship with these people can ruin your mood, your mind, control your emotions, spoil every part of your life. Do you know that? People, as you relate with people, as you have contact with them, either members of your family, either people at work, either people in the church, as you relate with them, now, the way you relate with these people, as you have contact with these people, the contact you have with them could either bring you peace, could either, you know, cause unnecessary, you know, change of mood, or cause unnecessary, you know, emotion, or bring a very bad experience in life to you. And so that is why it is important that you understand this message, that as you relate with people in life, you want to bring the best out of the relationship. You want to ensure that what you are contributing to that relationship will bring the best in that relationship. Am I talking to somebody today? Is this message so, is it coming so boring? Are you enjoying it? Do you believe that you have to relate with people in life? You cannot do without that. Until we expire, we must continue to relate with people. Even after we expired, we have to continue to relate. I pray that your relationship will be in heaven with Christ. Amen? Amen. And not with hell. Not in hell with demons. Some will have their relationship at the end of their days in hell with demons. The choice is yours, but I pray you choose life in Jesus' name. Relating with people offer you the most intense pleasures in your life or the most intense pain in life. The pain that is worse in life is not broken body, but broken heart. Do you know that? The pain that is worse in life, we are relational beings. We begin to relate together. The pain that is worse in life is not when you break your leg or you break your hands or one of your arms or one of your feet. But what is painful in life is when somebody breaks your heart. It's very painful. So, as we relate together, you want to avoid this. In life, whenever we are betrayed, criticized, ignored, troubled, hated, rejected, falsely accused, unloved, distracted, betrayed, misunderstood, overlooked, we could have or feel the deepest hurt possible in life. The deepest pain in our heart. When you feel betrayed, when people criticize you unnecessarily, when people falsely accuse you, when people misunderstood you, they can break your heart, and that can bring a very long-lasting pain into your life. Amen? Amen. Try as much as possible as you relate with people. Don't create this element in their lives. You're going to break their heart. You're going to make them. You're going to turn them off. Do you know that problems from relationship can lead to suicide? Do you know that? Problems from relationship can make somebody to say he or she wants to commit suicide. Of course, can send one to counselors or to the doctor's office for medication. You don't want to be the source of that. You don't want to relate to somebody and then the person will leave you and then is looking for a doctor, is looking for counselors, is looking for medication. You will not be an instrument of dishonor in the mighty name of Jesus. The answer to better genuine relationship is in the Bible. And Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 explained this to us, right? I think I have it somewhere. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. I read it at the beginning, so maybe we go back there. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Let us be kind to one another. And also Romans. Shall we open to Romans? I know we have it projected on the screen. Romans chapter 12 verse 10. I think I have it here. It said, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." In honor, doing what? Let us honor each other. Everybody wants to be honored, right? Everyone wants to be honored. Then why don't you want to honor someone else? And you just want yourself to be honored only. Let's see again, Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another." Let us do what? Tolerate one another. Let's tolerate one another. These things are very good. They will bring joy into our fellowship. They will bring joy into our relationship. They will bring joy into our family. They will bring joy into our environment. If we can follow what the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another." Some of us cannot just forbear a second. We cannot just tolerate people 1 minute. First Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 says, charity suffers long and is what?
Kind.
If you want a relationship that is superb, a God-fearing relationship, there must be kindness there. There must be kindness. You got to be kind to people. And there must be meekness. You must humble yourself. You must humble yourself and you must forbear. You must bear with people. Accept their weakness. Bear with them. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. And to godliness had what? Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You can tell me it's only for brothers. And maybe I should say it this way. And to godliness had Christian kindness. And to Christian kindness had charity. So don't say it. So when we say brotherly, you are included, my mothers. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 31, if you read it in a bold, said, to all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let all this be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I think you all know that Christianity, when you give your life to Christ, the Bible says all things are passed away, behold, all things are what? Now, Christianity is you replacing the old thing with new things. Amen? Christianity is not what I can call, just trying to change. You have to replace. The Bible says when evil spirit will go out of a man's heart or someone's heart, you cast the evil spirit out. If that place is empty, if it's not replaced with something better, what's going to happen to that place? That evil spirit will go and bring another what? Seven more wicked spirits. And they have to come there to occupy that place. There is no vacuum in space. So there must be replacement. You have to replace good thing, to occupy where the bad things have disappeared. Relational being. How do you know if somebody is matured or if somebody is growing as a Christian? How do you know this? Spiritual maturity and growth mean godliness. And that means our vertical relationship with God is called godliness. Our vertical relationship with God, the Almighty. And then, where you know somebody is matured spiritually or is growing is this person extends kindness to people. Our horizontal relationships with others, we relate together with kindness. I want to go extra mile. I want to just be there for you. I know your weaknesses. I'm not going to capitalize on your weaknesses as I relate with you, because I want to bring the best out of you. Kindness involves what you say, tone of your voice, deeds, and actions. I don't know if time will permit me to go to the story of let's try if we can do that before we just pray and go. I want to really explain to you what we mean by this kindness, and I think that as we demonstrate this in our lives, the Lord the Almighty will help us to live in the light of these messages in Jesus' name. Just to ensure that we have the best place, we enjoy ourselves as we relate together. We have a lasting solution. I want to tell you something. If somebody is going to remember you in life, it should remember you for good. Amen. If somebody is going to remember any relationship he or she had with you in the past, it should be very sweet memories. And that's my prayer. If you want to remember how I've worked with you or where we have met, I want you to remember it and have a very good memory, of good things that we have shared together. Kindness is what we have to do for each other. We have to promote each other. When you get back home, you can read this. Second Samuel chapter 9 from verse 1. There was a time David was looking for what he can do to the house. Let me just read it. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Because of the friendship he had with Jonathan. Now Jonathan died. You know what happened, you know, in the midst of that death. You know everything. I don't want to go to the details of it. And David just remembered the relationship he had with Jonathan. When people remember the relationship they had with you, what would they do? Would that bring a great reward? Or is it going to bring a kind of repercussion that will be grave to one's family? I pray that when people remember how you have dealt with them in the past, they will bless your family instead of cursing your family, in the mighty name of Jesus. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. He was a lame person. Somebody who cannot, a disabled person. But nevertheless, David just wants to pay back the house of Jonathan. Because of Jonathan. Not because of Saul per se, but because of Jonathan. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Mosha, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Mosha, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, that was his name, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. You know, Mephibosheth may be afraid that, oh, maybe the king is going to kill me because of Saul, but because of what Saul did to the king. But David said, Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The relationship I had with Jonathan was great, and I have to be kind to you because of that relationship. When you relate with people, don't think of yourself, think of your children, think of your husband, think of your wife, think of your people. Don't just relate with people. Do you know that sometimes people may do something that is so bad that nobody wants to bear the name of that person? Haven't you seen that? Nobody wants to they want to change their name. I remember one time when Dimka, we thought it was a bad thing. They made us to understand if you plan a coup, it's bad, right? Dimka Suka Buka. I mean, what is that name? When he planned the coup, and then eventually, you know, the coup was foiled. If your name is Dimka, you want to change that name because it becomes a sigma, Bisala. General Bisala. I mean, you don't want to be a Bisala. There was a time people that were armed robbers, they were wearing lace back home in Nigeria. If you put on lace, they look at you. You see another armed robber? See another armed robber? It took, you know, some musicians to try to change the attitude of people to issues like that. And Obey said, don't look at people wearing the lace as a bad people. Let's rebuke the one who has stolen, not the people putting on lace. When people remember your activities, your actions, will they bless your generation or they will curse that generation? When people remember your activities, the way you relate with them, and you carry the name, do you know that if you go anywhere, you carry the name of your family, you carry the name of your environment, you carry the name of your church? Do you know that? Hello? Now, when you carry this name around, and then you interact with people, what do you want them to remember? You want them to point fingers and curse your organization or bless your organization. Curse the family or bless the family. David said, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Ah! Do you know what it means to come and dine with the king?
Ah, great privilege. Let me explain to you. I don't think you understand what we are talking about. I'm not talking of a king of one small village. King of village where they are just 20. I'm telling you, it's just like Obama asking somebody that as long as I'm in White House, you have free pass. Come into the White House and we are going to be eating together on the same table. What do you think is going to happen to that person? Listen to me. You will make the news. They want to know, who is this person? Who is this person? Who is this person? I want to know this person. No, I want to know you. You want to be friends to that person because you want that person to introduce to Obama. Maybe you can get some little falling from the table. Not food alone. Well, you know people like that. You could become anything, right? That's what it means. Even the president of Nigeria, as he's in the hospital or whatever he may be now, if somebody should tell you, oh, I know his wife, you say, can you go and introduce me to his wife? Even at this dying time, can you introduce me? Because you never know. You may be given a high block, a well to drink gas, crude oil in Delta. And you become a millionaire immediately. You become what? So to know big people, what happened to Mephibosheth? Great. David said, you will continue to eat on my table because I have to pay back what Jonathan did. You will continually eat on my table. Great opportunity. And he said, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? A dead dog, a lame person. Somebody who is lame has to be eating now with the king. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe somebody, as he will come like that. Maybe somebody is going to carry him and get a special seat, and he will sit down and he will cross his leg like this and be eating with the king. In fact, the servant of the king will be watching. What is going on? How can this man, those of us that have two legs, we cannot walk inside and sit down there. Someone who is going to struggle like this, now has to sit on the table with the king. That is what good memory can achieve. As we close in this message, I want to ask you, let us assume that we expired, what would the people you have had contact with remember about you? We are relational beings. You must relate with God. That is okay. God will take care of that aspect. If you don't want to, if you treat God like garbage, when you get to my father, Jesus told them, if you are ashamed of me in this dead generation, when I get to my father's kingdom, that is my time, I will be ashamed of you. Yeah. But the people that you meet as you walk along the street, the people you meet in your office, there are some of us, when you leave your office, they will go and sweep your table. Say, don't come back here. It's so painful. And there are some people, when they leave an office, they can just write a small note, give to somebody. Tell them, I sent you. When they say, tell them, I sent you. As soon as they see that note, they will treat you like very important, right? They treat you, they give you all that you want. Find for a solution because of the impact you left behind. What will people remember about you? When you depart from this environment, let's assume when you have to leave this church and you have to go to California or you have to go to Atlanta or you go to somewhere else. How are they going to miss you for good? Or when they see, say, we miss you. We don't have trouble again. We miss you. Or are they going to say, no, you left a vacuum that nobody was able to fill?
I don't know what we want people to remember about you. It's very, very important. You could take this as a joke. Say, Pastor, leave us alone. How should I be respect people? You respect me, I respect you. You don't respect me, I don't respect you. You slap me, I slap you. Ah. Listen, the consequences of some of our actions, they are grave. And the consequences of some of our actions could be very painful and could be something that you cannot rewrite. And that's why you have to think very carefully before you do anything. Think of your family. Think of your children. Think of your partners. Think of your society, your environment, before you take any action. Because it will affect every people. It's going to affect so many people. Look at this Mutalab. What is his name? Is it Mutalab? This spoiled child. Mutalab. See what he created for the old Nigerians? Spoiled child. Because he got access to money. Look at the way he behaved. Look at the way he behaved. Now they have to treat every Nigerian now like him. They have to put the name of the nation among the terrorist-sponsored countries. Ah, Nigeria, where people love life. The most happiest people on earth. How many Nigerians want to die? Ah. Dude, how many suicide do you think people commit in Nigeria? Even when there is no food, they will say, there is hope. You will see them, there is hope. Maybe I can eat the millions. Maybe I can eat the millions. I can remember there was a time 7-Up was doing a promotion. They will tell you that when you buy 7-Up under the, what do you call this thing you open? Under the cap. You open the cap, you can become a millionaire. Even poor people, when they are doing anything, they will carry the bag. As they open the 7-Up, they grab the cap, put it in the bag. They have hope that they can become a millionaire. As they open it, boom, they take it and grab. You see the real man of the house, the father of the baby, carrying the London bag, taking, because they hope for better tomorrow. Instead of committing suicide, they think, maybe I can eat the lottery. Maybe one of these calves, I can get the getter. Then one of the prizes will be getter. Maybe they never ridden you know, vehicle before. Maybe this is going to be the opportunity. Nigerians wouldn't want to die. But this boy, spoiled boy, now is creating a big stigma on every Nigerian. What do you think people will remember when they know that you are from Nigeria? But in the pass of time, this will go, right? Then I want to ask you as a person, when people remember that they had a contact with you, what do you think they will remember about you? And you can make a change. We can change, right? We are relational beings. You continue to relate with people. But if you have had a very bad experience in relating with people and it has created a very bad impact in the life of these people, you can make a change. As we are listening to this message, while messages are coming out, they are not just coming out for, there is just one of those things, Pastor must speak on something on Sundays. That's another topic. I don't know what Pastor is going to speak next week. Maybe he's going to speak about bring out your money in your purse. But today is, Pastor conclude, there's a smell of food downstairs. Come on, Pastor. Conclude, food is, let's break this fast. But do you know one thing? Man may not live by bread alone, right? But man must live by relating with each other. There's no how you must relate with your environment. There's no how you must relate with people, and you must relate with God. Even people that don't believe that God is in existence, there's a vacuum in their lives. That they want something, they want one higher power, something to fill that vacuum. So they long for relationship. They long for a celestial, higher relationship somewhere. Somewhere, right? Somewhere. And they go into various kinds of dealings to get this relationship. And then people around you, you talk to people, you want to see people around you, want to, even if, you know, if it's a child, you want to have something to do, you want to keep yourself busy with this person. As you do this, what do you want people to remember about you? As I want to conclude this series of messages, I want you to think very well about your life, the impact you have created in people, the impact you are going to create. If you have not been doing something very good, according to the message of today, please, you can make a change. Let's be kind to one another. Amen.
Let's treat one another with respect. Don't you love when people treat you with respect? Don't you love it? I love it. There are some airlines that people like to fly all the time. Because when you are there, they treat you like king. If you ask them, can I have this? They go and bring more. Can I have this? They go and bring more. But when they treat you like garbage, I remember one time I traveled. Am I taking your time? Are you sure? No? I should continue? Okay. One time I was traveling, and then as soon as we got to Europe, and I had my connecting flight, as soon as we entered the plane, and the plane was about to take off, then one of the staff just came in and began to flit. Shh, was flitting in the plane. Ha! People were so annoyed. One man stood up and said, "Why are you treating us as animals? Why did you flit this in? Then the man, they are trying to explain that the flitting this in because of mosquitoes. The man said, "What do you mean? Then you have to flit it when we are inside. This and that. They started fighting because the people thought that they were not treated very well. It was serious. The man brought out a paper. The plane was going. He brought out a paper and said, "All of you sign. Do you support me? 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 Sign." Some people, they signed. The man was ready to do what? Make a change, because he thought that they were not treated as human beings. That if you can fleet us like fleeting mosquitoes, then because we are going to Africa, they said they have to fight. The man was serious. But they lied against the man. As soon as we landed, we saw plain clothes people. They just moved close. They were looking for him. And they asked him that they want to interview you. They took him somewhere. They said he was a terrorist. He wanted to bring down the plane. They said a lot of things against the man. And then the man was asking people, "Can you come and tell them what happened?" Everybody was going. All the people that signed, everybody was going. They said, people are looking for their luggages. And they were taking the man. The man was trying to tell them, "Do you know what happened? Explain to them." The people, nobody was ready to help the man. But the man made an impression, because after a while, that thing stopped. They were not doing it again. It stopped. The man made a very great impression, though he suffered alone. Everybody was ready, taking their baggages and going, because they don't know what is going to become of the situation. But people want to be treated with respect, with dignity, with courtesy, right? They want to, and you feel good when they treat you like that. I want to conclude. Let us please, in the church here, I'm just pleading to all of us. Let us treat each other with respect. Let us treat each other with courtesy. Let us treat each other with dignity. Even if anything is wrong, there is a way, there is an approach we can attend to the situation peace with peace, right? And then we can forgive one another, as Paul said in that Ephesians. Father, we thank you this afternoon. We bless you for your